I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Acts. If you have your Bible, open to the book of Acts, chapter 24. The Bible says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. And we need to emphasize what God emphasizes, don't we? Always. When you have a life, you have an opportunity. The life God gives you is your opportunity. What you do with it, you'll answer to God for. If it belongs to the Lord, it's His. He's the author and finisher of our lives. He sets the dates, the parameters for our existence. What we accomplish for His glory, we trust. We can't get it back again. We can invest it for Him. When you read the Bible, we need to try to place the emphasis where God places the emphasis. And when we enter this particular portion of Scripture, the Lord has us following the life of the Apostle Paul and what God is doing through him at a certain juncture in his life. The Bible says in Acts chapter 24, when God gives us this account of Paul being taken from Jerusalem and delivered to Capernaum, some amazing things take place. One of those things is that Paul is brought to trial. He spends 2 years here, and God has him encountered with some famous people. And the Word of God says in verse 24 of chapter 24, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him." I want you to notice this moment that God prepares, not just for Paul, but for Felix, this Roman governor, and his wife Drusilla. Felix was in charge at this particular time. He had an unusual past. He was a slave at one time, and now promoted to this dignified position. And this woman with him, the Bible describes as a Jewess. She knew Paul's life, what he lived for, what he stood for. But I want you to notice what the Bible says, that they heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, this is what's gotten Paul in trouble. By the way, it's what will get you in trouble. The world can take just about anything, but when you talk specifically about Jesus, and especially Jesus as the only way of salvation. So here this Roman ruler listens to Paul, and the Bible tells us specifically what Paul preached him about. And this audience that Felix had with the Apostle Paul, the Bible says, Paul spoke to him and reasoned, as he reasoned with him, about three things. Righteousness, would you write them down? Temperance, and judgment to come. Felix's response, he trembled. He trembled. The Word of God did its work in Felix's heart. And then he gave the most tragic words anyone could give. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. To our knowledge, Felix never called for Paul on this order. He had his opportunity. God provided that opportunity through the preaching and the reasoning of the Apostle Paul. But Felix's response was not what would be the thing we'd like to have seen. But it's not Felix and Paul's conversation that we need to look at this moment. It's your conversation and mine with the Lord Jesus when he deals with us. Because God speaks to us. We have our seasons when the Lord is speaking. We're praying for real revival in our land. The Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, is at work, convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, the idea here that Paul preached to Felix is not exactly what we find about the Holy Spirit dealing with us. But God deals with us. He says the Holy Spirit is in the world working, and he's convicting us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sometimes we say judgment to come. That's what we find here in this passage. But that's not what we find about the work of the Holy Spirit. The judgment that the Holy Spirit deals with is the judgment of our sin in the body of Jesus as Christ became sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so what the Holy Spirit is doing in the world, we ought to be alert to. What Paul was doing is following the Lord at this moment in this occasion to preach to Felix. And there's some interesting statements I want to call your attention to and be finished very quickly. But I want you to hear them. The Bible says, as he reasoned, that's Paul reasoning. Reasoning. That's part of the responsibility we have in preaching the Word of God. God has made us so that we can be reasoned with. The convicting work of the Holy Spirit is done in our hearts. But the Bible says that Paul reasoned with Felix. He knew a little bit about Felix's background. He knew the things Felix understood. As a matter of fact, the Word of God reveals in the context of this passage that Felix understood the way. That was the way that Paul was following after the Lord Jesus. He had understanding of Jewish customs and religion, but he understood there was a way that Paul was following. The Bible says in John chapter 14, when the Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There where I am, there you may be also." And when Thomas quizzed him and said, "Lord, we know not the way," and Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The most certain thing anybody could ever say about soul salvation, the Lord Jesus said when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I'm not going to argue with Jesus. You might want to argue with him, but I'm not going to argue with him. I'm going to accept what he said. And now Paul is given this opportunity to talk to Felix. And he chooses to talk to him about these three things. He's reasoning with him. We have just a few words about what is said here, but the reasoning that Paul did, no doubt, was filled with logic as he spoke with Felix about the Lord Jesus. And he talked about righteousness. All our righteousness are in filthy rags. You can try any way you want to please God in your own effort, and you'll never do it. The only way we're going to please the Lord is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. He pleases the Father in every way. And what God wants to do in our lives is he wants us to have this divine transaction taking place in us, where we realize we need more than what we can produce. And in this reasoning that Paul did with Felix, he talked to him about righteousness. Righteousness. If someone talked to you about righteousness, what would be your conclusion? Some people think they don't need any righteousness. Why did Jesus Christ come to the cross? Why did he bleed and die for us? Why does he teach us in his word that his righteousness is necessary, that our righteousness is his filthy rags? In other words, no matter what this Roman leader had done or accomplished with his life, he needed something that only God could give him. And that's the conversation the Lord has committed to us to give to people. The truth of the Word of God, that people need Christ's righteousness. You need Christ's righteousness. All we have sinned, all of us as sinners have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And therefore, the Lord has laid on him, that's the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And the only righteousness that God will accept is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to our account when we trust him by faith as our Savior. Righteousness. I'm going to ask you a very plain, simple question. Do you have Christ's righteousness on your account? The second thing the Lord says, he deals with righteousness and temperance. Most people think we're dealing with self-control. This temperance has to do with allowing God to have control. So many times in my life, I've regretted I haven't let the Lord have control. I haven't given God the reins of my life. Have you given him the reins of your life? Have you really turned your life over to him? All of us who've had something to do in leadership have the difficulty to deal with of trying to run our own lives and not yielding our lives to God and letting him run it. But Paul reasoned of righteousness. And then the very plain thing, judgment to come. This is the fact that we have an inevitable meeting with God. No matter what you do, what you've been, what people think you are, we all have an inevitable meeting with God. The Bible says the appointed man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. The thing that is on my mind is I'm going to give an account to God. You ever think about that? That you're going to stand face to face with God, give an account of your life? Every opportunity you've had, everything you've been able to do and didn't do? Righteousness, the Bible says, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Judgment to come. Felix trembled when he heard it. It's an amazing thing for a man in authority to tremble. God doesn't speak of this often, about people being confronted with the gospel, but this man trembled. And then he made an answer. And the answer is the tragedy. Listen to it. And answered, "Go thy way for this time." I know what I ought to do. I know what I ought to be. I'm hearing you. You're reasoning with me. It's getting through. But not now. Later. There's nothing as tragic as you're answering in your life that you're going to put God off now. Nothing. Nothing as tragic as you postponing what God wants you to do. Most of you start out as a young man or a young lady and you have ideas and dreams of what you're going to do with your life. At some course in life, you have an opportunity to review whether or not you've accomplished those things. To some degree, you've finished this, that, or the other. But it's haunting for us to see what we haven't done. what we haven't accomplished. If we have anything, those of us sitting in this room, it is opportunity. But what do we do with it? What do we do with it? If you believe what I believe about the Bible, there's a real heaven and a real hell. And Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And what we do with him determines whether we're going to get there or not. So what have you done with him? What have you done with your opportunity in salvation? What have you done with your opportunity in Christian service? Not a one of us who has any kind of a serious mind about the things of God thinks he or she has done everything we should have done already at this juncture in life. There's so much more opportunity we could have done. So much more we had opportunity to do. And there's nothing as tragic as treating God with this kind of attitude later. Later. I know it's right, but not now. I know I'm thinking seriously what you're saying is true, but not now. Everything I look at, I think I should have been further along in that. Why am I not further along in it? I have opportunity. And we need to apply ourselves. We need to ask God to guide us and help us. Go thy way for this time. For this time. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And the tragedy is Satan and the world and the flesh make sure the convenient season never comes. It never comes. There's some of you listening to the sound of my voice now who know you need to settle the doubts about your salvation. And someday you're going to do it. You've said many times when somebody's been talking about the Bible, talking about heaven and hell and the reality of sins forgiven, that you're going to get it taken care of. But think how long you've been saying that and never taking care of it. There are many Christians who have testimonies and they say, I really know that I've trusted Jesus as my Savior and I've wanted to give my life truly to God, yielding, surrendering to him, and one of these days I'm going to do it. I really know I'm going to do it. And I've heard hundreds of times what I ought to do, and I'm going to do it. But it's never come. The yielding, the full surrender, never come. The filling of God's Spirit, the yielding of your life to the Lord, never. And sometimes, do you ever think, will it ever really happen? I know pastors and churches that keep thinking, someday I'm going to do the thing that God will bless. When? In a convenient season? It just never happens. And so for Felix, it didn't come. Paul had this encounter with this man, and Paul was faithful in preaching the truth to him. And Felix would live and die, and to our knowledge, would have to admit to the Lord, I had an opportunity, but I never seized it. And there are many of you who will say, if I had to die and meet God right now, I've had the opportunity, but I've never seized it. Nothing is tragic. Nothing is sad. Nothing as sad. Having had that opportunity and never seized it for the Lord. I want you to.